Good morning, good morning, good morning. Somebody say good morning. It is so good to see you all here this morning. I know it was the congestion in the aisles making our way back to our seats. I want to tell you, we are so excited about this week. Kids Camp is finally here. It has arrived, and it is happening this week. And I just want to encourage you to be in prayer with us for Kids Camp. Kids Camp is one of the highlight events of our year because there's nothing like seeing 100-plus kids come in here and rock it out for God. How many think that's just amazing? And there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. And it's happening this Thursday and Friday. If you haven't had an opportunity to sign your kids up, sign them up outside. You can register out in the lobby or at any of the check-in stations. They would be glad to get you a part of it. It's going to be happening Thursday and Friday, like I said, all day, well into the afternoon. And then we're doing what we did last year, this year, with a family night, which we want to invite everybody to be a part of because we just want to celebrate what God's doing in our kids. And so how many think that would be cool if we all just joined in their Friday night service, like all of us jumped in and was like, hey, let's see what you guys are doing. And so they're going to be doing the service. They do it all. They're going to be showing us what they've been learning and all that good stuff. And so everybody's welcome to be a part of that. And then after that family night service, which is always a very memorable one, people that attended our last one, they're like, man, I've never been a part of anything like that. It's so different and but so powerful. And after that, we're going to go outside and we're going to do a fireworks show. And people are just going to love that. So, you know, you can come sit on the lawn or bring a lawn chair if you want. And we're going to do something different this year as well because we're already getting ready to go back to school. And I know a lot of people are just like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe already. But other people are stressing in a different way. It's more of a financial way because as there was a poll that came out that one of the most stressful times financially for parents comes at the beginning of school. I would have thought Christmas time or anything like that. But, you know, with the demand of new clothes and shoes and school supplies and everything that comes together, it really gets tough. And so what we thought it would be really neat to take that family night at Kids Camp and just bless families that aren't going to be able to afford the school supplies to say, you know what, we got you. And we're going to put all those school supplies in a backpack and just distribute it out. We're going to have the kids even distribute it out to the families that need it. So if you know a family that needs that assistance, on your way out today, sign them up. And after you sign them up, invite them to come and be a part of that family night service at Kids Camp and just say, hey, we got you covered. We're going to be able to help you out with your school supplies this year. How many think that would just be absolutely dynamic? I think that would be so cool just to show the love of Christ through that way. So be a part of that with us. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you, if you would, to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and we're going to talk from verse 21 here today. Also, we're going to read another scripture back to back, Proverbs 18, 21. I want you, if you would, also, you can just put your thumb there and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. We're going to read those two verses back to back, and then we're going to dig into our message here. Here we are in the last portion of this series of talks, learning how to overcome the enemy in our heads, our hearts, and our homes. And we are here on the home part. We laid a foundation last week. Renee, if you could put that up for me on the screen, this foundation right here for you and I to understand before we even dig into the home part of this message, that God is as much in your home as he is here in this house. That the moment we cross through the threshold, right, of our door to our homes, he is as much there as he is here. If you believe that, would you give God a good amen? Amen. So with that knowledge, we're going to be able to successfully build the rest of these talks in this series on top of that. So as we tackle this first portion of our home here, let's look to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. If you follow along on the app, we got them for you there. We got them for you on the screen. We got you covered. Here it is. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, for whoever would love life and see good days. Anybody love life and wants to see good days? Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. We just read some powerful truth. And Lord, I pray as we pray weekly that the power and truth behind your word would come to life in our lives, God, as we strive to live it out from this place. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity just to even dig in and celebrate your word and the truth and the application that it has to us. God, as your mouthpiece here today, I pray you guide me, guide my thoughts, my mind, my words, as I strive to be simply an echo of what you're saying to us, your people, here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today, we are going to talk about a tool in our lives that can, and many times is, the weapon. Everybody say the word weapon. Weapon that can and many times is the weapon that Satan uses to bring disharmony, that we allow him to use to bring dissension, to bring division, to bring destruction inside of our homes. And that tool is our tongue. You see, what's in your mouth right now is, this very minute, is the most powerful thing you possess as a person. Your words are powerful. Words are not simply sounds caused by air passing through our larynx. Words have real power. God initiated this truth by speaking the world into being by the power of his words, right? Hebrews 11:3, by faith we know the universe was formed at God's command. And we, you and I, Journey Church, who are in his image, right? Genesis 1:27 says we were created in his image and likeness. That means that you and I also have creating power with our words. Words do much more than simply convey information. The power that is attached to our words can actually destroy one's spirit. The power that's attached to our words can create and stir up hatred and violence in another person's life. They not only incite wounds, but they can inflict them directly and initially. Our words can create wounds in other people. Think about it. Of all the life on this planet, only mankind has the ability to communicate through the spoken word. Many of you remember a statement that I made a few weeks back in this series wherein I said that the only weapon Satan has to defeat you are those that you give to him. And friends, how many know we often give him our tongues? Where we end up becoming the mouthpiece he needs to bring the harm he wants to our homes. How many know that old children's rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," is the biggest lie that has ever been told on this planet? Why? Because words hurt. I don't care how powerful you want to act in this room. Words hurt, friends. Words destroy. Words divide. And I don't know about you, but as a pastor, this right here is dangerous, friends. As a pastor, I've been able to do this now, help people in a ministry capacity now full time for the last 15 years, and I've been in a lot of homes, and I see a lot of hurt in a lot of homes, and I see a lot of destruction in a lot of homes, and I see a lot of division in the homes of people that I have had the privilege, and my wife has had the privilege to help. And in our journey in helping them with the hurt and the destruction and the division in their home, this is quite often the source of the problem. When I just sit back and assess the problem and I try and follow it back to its source, it all comes down most of the time to this. I don't think that's a deep truth that requires a lot more teaching in order for us to understand it. I think we all kind of get that. We use our words wrong and God commands us to use them right. like stats on communication in the home. Polls show communication to be the number one reason for divorce in America today. Polls show communication to be the number one issue, to be the number one problem inside of active marriages today. And wouldn't you believe, polls show communication to be the number one issue dividing parents and children today in the home. Communication. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've experienced it in my home. I'm certain you have experienced it in your home as well. So let's just get real right now and tackle this problem. And let's learn to turn our words around for the glory of God. Because how many know if we turn our words around, we are able to turn our homes around. And mind you, this is a problem that we all experience. So now's not the time to go and think about the person next to you going, I'm so glad they're here this morning to hear this. Right? This is a problem we all experience. So just go on and look at your neighbor right now and tell him, this is for everybody. This isn't targeted to one select group of people today. This is all of us, friends. So let's tackle our tongues with practical solutions that God can use to bring and keep victory in our homes. I'm going to give you two main points to this. Number one, regularly remind yourself that your words have supernatural power. If you want to know a key to overcoming the enemy in the context of your tongue, regularly remind yourself that your words have supernatural power. Now, some of you may be looking at me going, I don't know about that. That might be a little extreme. My wife and I were talking on the way back from Oklahoma yesterday. We were just kind of talking about this message. And I was like, think about it. Like, around Friday and Saturday, I get so stoked about this message. I go into preacher mode, man. I call it PMS, pre-message syndrome. Like, I get crazy, friends. And I'm just like, think about it. Like, my words, just by speaking them, I can create things inside of you. I can create feelings. To me, I don't know about you, but that just soars way beyond the natural to me. Like, your words have supernatural power, friends. And we need to regularly remind ourselves of that truth every single day. I think it's good that we think before we speak. We've got to realize one very important thing. Can you go back to Proverbs 18:21, if you would, Renee? Like, look at this. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, this scripture was written a long time ago in Hebrew, and these words have different meanings, right? We just see death and life are in the power of the tongue. But look at that word life, if you can circle it and give the root meaning there. The root meaning of that word life there means ability to live. Your tongue has the power to give something the ability to live. Meaning, we give life to what we are saying, good or bad, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Good or bad, we give life to that which we are saying. In other words, if you speak love, you are giving love the ability to live. On the flip side, on the other side of the coin, if you speak hate, what are you doing? You are giving hate the ability to live in your life and possibly giving it the ability to live in the life of the one you're talking to. You are giving it that ability. Man, this is a truth. And this is the truth that applies to everything. Like, we got to watch what we say, friends. I hear people say, make statements like, I'll never be successful. I hear people say, I'll always struggle. I hear people say, man, I'll never catch a break. I hear single people say, I'll never find someone. Listen, when you speak that, you are giving life to that in your life. I mean, look back on this screen right here and let me ask you, who wants that to define your life? Seriously, if there's anybody in the room, raise your hand. Who wants that to define your life?
I know. Somebody's like, wait a minute. Never mind. That hand went down so fast.
Nobody wants that to define your life. Nobody. Right? Then why do we say it? Why do we say it? If we don't want it to define our life, friends. Think about that. Why do we say it then? Here's the answer. Because we let the enemy have our tongue. We let him put his hands on the steering wheel of the most powerful thing we possess and steer our life in the direction that he wants it to go. You see, we forget point number one quite often. We forget to regularly remind ourselves that our words, right, have supernatural power. And so, like, we forget those things. And so people that make those statements right here, like, they fail to realize, they don't realize that their own words are paving the way for their own failure. We can't speak words of defeat and failure and expect to live in blessing and victory. You can't. You can't. Because you follow your words. Why? Because Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, we reap what we sow. In Scripture, words are so often compared to seeds. In every parable Jesus gives, anytime you see him mention seeds, he's talking about words. He's talking about spoken words. And when we sow things, we grow things. When you speak them, you sow them. And what you sow, you will grow. And what you grow, you eat. So if we are going to speak defeat, we are going to sow defeat. And if we're sowing defeat, we're growing defeat. And if you're growing defeat, you're eating defeat. Look at your neighbor and say, don't eat defeat. Because defeat stink. The jokes are free at Journey Church. Amen. If we're going to speak victory, we're sowing victory. And if we're sowing victory, we're growing victory. And if we're growing victory, we're eating victory. And how many want to eat victory in your homes? Friends, I want to eat victory. So regularly remind yourself that all that begins in that moment when you speak. Think before you speak. Because your words have power. Now, that's point number one. And with that understanding of point number one, let's walk into point number two. Regularly use that power to speak victory in your home. What do I mean by that? Because I don't want anybody to get the impression, like I would, that means we just walk into our home today and go, victory! You know, and it's just going to happen. It's not going to happen. Don't scream it at dinner. Don't scream it when you walk in. There's a practical meaning behind it. At least that's what I would. Here's what I mean. When I say speak victory regularly, get in the habit of always speaking victory in your home. Here's what I mean by speaking victory in your home. Speak victory over yourself and speak victory over others. Speak victory over yourself. Do you have that? Regularly speaking victory over yourself, the bottom word, and over others. Can you go back? Over yourself and over others. Do you see that? That's so stupid. Like, think about that though. This is what I'm talking about. Regularly speaking victory over yourself and over others. Friends, don't give the devil the reins to the most powerful part of your life. Don't do it. We got to ensure as the people of God we are doing right here. So, speaking victory over yourself. Let's go to that one. Dang it. There we go. What does that mean right there? Like, how do you practically do that? You remember this? My identity in Christ. This little half sheet flyer that we provided. If you lost yours, like I did last week,
I came into Wentzville campus last night, and I picked one up right off the info center. If you've lost yours, go pick yours up. And if you haven't lost it, go pick another one up just to make sure, for one of those just in case. Because I think it's important that we regularly speak victory over ourselves in the context of reminding ourselves who God says that we are. It's one thing to read it, but it's another thing to say it. There's something about saying it, friends. There's something about the power of the spoken word. It's one thing to sit and read, and it's another thing to look and say, I am God's possession. There's something different. There's a feel that's different when I say it. It's different when I say, I can do all things through Christ. It's different when I say, I can find mercy and grace to help me. It's different when I say, I cannot be separated from God's love. What would you think would happen to your life if you started waking up saying these things? What do you think will happen to your life when you start going to bed saying these things? How do you think your day at work's going to go if you would take your break and walk into the bathroom and walk in that stall and just say these things? Your coworkers will think you're crazy, but you are going to be victorious. I'm telling you something, friends. I think it's awesome to see God's people stand up and start speaking victory over themselves. Remind yourself of who you are. Grab this flyer. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your car dashboard. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Regularly remind yourself of who you are. I think that's one practical way we can speak victory over ourselves. Steve Miller was just saying, we also have it on our app. I mean, you just click on that app, that Journey Church app, and click on that, man, in the church bulletin section. Pull it up and just read it and say it. Speak victory over yourself. Another thing I think we could do is I call them mirror times. Go look in the mirror and like who you see. I think it's important that we start liking the image that is looking back at us. So walk in the mirror when you get home, before you go to bed, when you wake up, and just do what I do and say, what's cooking? Good looking. How are you doing today? Right? You got this. You can do it. You can make it. I don't care if you feel like Stuart Smalley. Stuart Smalley, that joker, and just say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. You know, just say whatever you got to do to encourage yourself, friends. Encourage yourself. Somebody might say, well, that's corny. I'll tell you what's corny is living out those four statements of defeat in our lives. To me, that's corny. That's corny to see somebody that God has a dream in their life and they never accomplish it because they end up saying stupid stuff about themselves all the time. That's corny. I want to do the opposite of that. I want my life to stay as far away from that as possible. And if I got to go look in the mirror and say, you can make it, man of God, you are a child of the King, you are His possession, you will win today, then so be it, friends. I want to have a mirror time. Do it. Look in the mirror and like who's looking back at you. Don't live your life through the eyes of defeat by not liking who you see. Women, if you're going to look in the mirror and even dare say that you are ugly and you are not what society is calling you, God help you, women. I'm telling you, see yourself for the daughter of God that you are. He made you in His image. He made you to be a queen of His kingdom. He made you holy. He made you beautiful. Say what He sees. Don't live your life through the eyes of a narcissistic society. God sees you as precious. And so do His people. I'm sorry for spitting all over you all. But see what He sees. Say, I'm sorry, what He sees. Mirror times. Last one. I keep going, but let's do one more. Write a note to yourself. Like, start journaling about or to yourself. What's wrong with you sitting down with a pen and paper, shooting yourself a text message. Say, dear, whatever your name is, right? Dear Jesse, you got this today. You will overcome every challenge put in your way. You've got it. Now have a great day, Jesse. Right? Signed, you. Like, P.S., you got this. Like, what's wrong with writing yourself a letter saying you can make it? You know, Scripture say in Psalms, like the book of Psalms, some of those are David wrote to himself. It says even in the Psalms that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Meaning he had to pick himself up. Speak victory over yourself. Friends, this is a daily task. This isn't just something that we can do on Monday and live in victory for the rest of the week. This is a daily task and responsibility. It's a daily decision for me to pick myself up and like myself. Just look at me. I gotta like this, right? And that's a daily decision to pick myself up and love myself because I don't love myself all the time. And to begin that process, I have to start to speak about it. Because a psychologist will tell you words are the push in the direction of our motivation. When you speak it, your life starts to be motivated in the direction of your words. Your words are powerful, friends. Don't be silent about the victory that God wants for your life. Why are we in the church always vocal about aspects of defeat and silence about the places of victory? It tells me that the devil is doing quite an amazing job in the house of God. We can't be silent about the victory that he wants for our life. Speak victory over you! And as you do that, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to do the next part, which is regularly speaking victory over others. Because if people don't like themselves, chances are they ain't going to like anybody else either. How many know, what's that statement? Hurt people, hurt people. When you are hurt and you're miserable, how many know, a lot of times you're just so consumed with you that you're not even remotely thinking or caring about anybody else. It's just about you. When you start picking you up and speaking into you, I'm talking you, don't wait for anybody else to do it, you do it. Then it's going to be easier to do what God also commands is for us to speak victory over other people. So let's talk about that one now. How do you speak victory over others? And mind you, there are several other things that we could dig into in how to speak victory over yourself. Those are just a few. But how do we speak victory over others? For the sake of time, we're not even going to be able to dig into all of this, so let's just touch on one of them. How to speak victory over others? Let's call it this. I'm talking other people in your home, in your life, in your relationship circle. Bridle the bad. Let's start with that one. Bridle the bad. Can you show that picture on that screen? This picture is disgusting. However, I don't like the picture. However, I love the visual message that this image is giving. Because we need to do more of this. If you want to learn how to live in victory in your home and you have to regularly speak victory over others, let's start by bridling the bad things that we say. Because it's very, very difficult, if not next to impossible, to live in victory while you're speaking defeat over other people in your home. We got to learn to bridle the bad. Wrong words must be tied up and held back from coming out of here. Now, this is where the think before we speak really needs to come into play. Because I believe some of us that were really never raised inside of, you know, a structure where we were taught to think before we speak. Like this is just very tempting just to say what you feel. And to say what you feel can't necessarily be applied because we forget that our words are actually creating things. So when you're saying bad, you're creating bad. So we got to bridle the bad. Now, most of the time, not all the time, sometimes we're just grumpy people. But most of the time, the bad comes out of our mouths because of what was just put into our ears. So we react. A lot of times when we hear negativity, we respond with negativity. And when we speak negativity, we're giving life to negativity, right? So, I mean, here's the psychological cycle we often find ourselves in the context of defeat, right? Just defeat and misery. We hear defeat, we speak defeat, we live defeat. Those three things. We hear defeat, we speak defeat, we live defeat. So where do we break it? Where do we break the cycle at? The first one, what we hear. We can't hear defeat. Even though what we may be hearing may be negative, we can't hear it. Don't hear defeat. Why? Where does the enemy want us to live? In defeat. So when it comes to communication, even if it may be perceived as negative, don't let the enemy influence you to interpret what you're hearing to become defeat. What am I saying? Because I think I may have lost some of you. Like, stand up, babe. Stand up, my beautiful wife. Oh, I love her so much. I'm so sweaty. I know. I'm sorry. Listen. We are in love. If you can't tell by the heart that surrounds our names on the screen, we are in love. Now, this is us. But let's just get real. There are times where Jesse and Missy becomes Jesse versus Missy. If you know what I'm saying. There are times where it just becomes a war. So, just to get practical here, I want you, if you would, sweetheart, if there's anyone that is willing to give me a ride home today, I would love a ride home. What I happened to do is I wrote down some statements that have been made to me from her that have created colorful moments in our life, right? Pray for me. Amen. So, if you would, I just wrote down two of them, right? I want you, if you would, just to read these statements. And we're just going to get practical. I think it's good that we open ourselves up to the people.
I just got to say that I didn't write these.
No, listen.
So what, these aren't.
Don't even try and go there in the context of art.
This is your interpretation of what I
just read. Read what's on the paper in Jesus' name and quit rebelling against this time that God wants to speak to us. So if you would, like this, I know the first statement was a statement that was made several months ago. All right. So if you would, just read the statement for what it is.
I didn't realize being a pastor made you exempt from doing the laundry.
Okay. Now, how many know you hear a statement like that? How many know it is easy to allow that statement to be interpreted to be negative, right? Now, some of y'all just amen that a little too passionately. And ushers, I'm just going to ask that you watch these people and you can escort them out of the room if they get a little too rowdy. But read the next one, too, if you would, please.
Is this how tonight is going to happen? I thought this was family night, not Jesse and his cell phone night.
Okay. Now, don't look at me like that either, because I will call your spouse and we will have you right up here next Sunday. Amen. Like, these are statements that I remember hearing. Thank you, sweetheart. I remember hearing, and it was like there was a choice in the moment, like on what to do. Because I remember when I hear statements like that, I'm sure when she hears statements like that or when we hear statements like that, I know it's easy for that to become a moment of conflict. I know for me, one of those statements, that I felt like Satan was just standing up like, and he had a gun and he was just like getting ready just to take completely, like take a shot at me. Oh, no, don't pick it up now. You just shot it at me. But I'm not calling her Satan, mind you. Can you put that don't influence, don't let what you hear be influenced by the enemy, Renee, if you would. Put that main, no, that main point, don't let the enemy influence, there you go. What you interpret, what you're hearing to be defeat. Because how many know, like there's times where I hear that negativity or I hear a statement that can be perceived to be negative. And it's like Ephesians 6. Right, where it says that the enemy, one of the strategies of the enemy is to send flaming arrows to our lives. Now, what that literally means in the context of that scripture are thoughts, right? That he can wrap around words that we hear and try and mess with it and create an interpretation on what we just heard. How many have ever had that happen to you before? Where you're hearing something and the enemy tries to work around those words to bring you to a place of defeat. So like when I heard that, when I heard, I didn't know being a pastor made you exempt from doing the laundry. I remember in that season, in that week, I was working crazy amounts of hours. I was so busy and so far away of just, I had so many things on my plate. I mean, I'm here and I'm trying to build the cause of the kingdom. I'm trying to grow the kingdom and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this. And you are asking me to do the laundry this week? Like, do you know what I'm accomplishing for the glory of God? You know? So when I hear that, it's like, man, now everybody just needs to calm down right now in this room. Just let me make the point. I'll come around, ladies, where you like me again in just a minute. But when I heard that, like, there was some stuff attached to it. I was ready to get froggy, man. I was ready. Because how many know, if you interpret it to be offensive, what is offense going to attract? Defense, right? And then you've got a battle happening. And so I felt like in that moment, like here comes the flaming darts of the enemy. In Ephesians 6, what does it say extinguishes the flaming arrows? It says, by taking up the shield of faith. It says faith extinguishes the flaming darts of the evil one. What is faith? We've talked about it in length at this church. Let me give you the Jesse interpretation of it. Taking the God road. Taking the high road. Not succumbing to the feelings that I necessarily have in my heart, but taking what God says that I should be doing. But I didn't do that. Instead, I argued back. And we had a colorful 3.5-hour discussion. A colorful one. That I remember it was like 1:30 in the morning. And we were just wrapping it up. And there was so much stuff said. Does anybody ever have that? No, you guys don't. Miss, this is for us then. They're here to help us. Amen. Like, we just started, like, and I remember in those, after the apology started to go and toward the end and we started to reconcile, I just remember sitting there with so much regret. And I said, I wish I could just, I'm thinking to myself, I wish I could just rewind time back to when that statement was said. And I wouldn't have reacted the way that I did. Like, I wish I wouldn't have. I wish I would have extinguished those arrows by taking the God route, which would have been stepping away from the situation and say, why is she doing that? Why is that statement being made? Instead of getting offended, I should have realized that my wife is perhaps communicating a wound in her life. Because maybe I wasn't there that week. And maybe I should realize that she works just as hard as I do, if not more at times than what I do. And she's also tasked here this week by having to do laundry and having to take care of things around the house when I wasn't there. And maybe she's just tired and maybe she just wants her husband to stand next to her and help. Maybe I should have realized that. You know, by taking the faith route means you're taking the God route, which means you're leaning on Him and His Word, right? You got Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Do you have that scripture, Renee? It says wisdom, right? How many want wisdom in your house, in your life? It says it's the principal thing. It says, therefore, so get wisdom, but in all your getting, in all thy getting, get understanding. You're never going to get wise if you don't understand. So in that moment when she made the statement, if I want to take the faith route, then I step back and I try and understand why she made the statement. And when I understand the statement that she made, I should have realized in that moment she's hurting. And I'm here to heal her, not continue to hurt her. This right here is Ephesians 6 come to life. I don't like it sometimes when we stand on platforms and just scream out scriptures and spiritual points and we don't give practical ways on how to live it out. When you step outside of an argument and take the God route, that is exactly what you're doing. No, you are living out Ephesians 6, that you are extinguishing the flaming darts of the enemy, and you are not opening a door to give him a place in your life. You are closing that door, allowing God to walk in and bring you victory instead of the enemy bringing you defeat. How many are ready to start eating victory instead of munching on defeat inside of our homes? Then don't take things personally. Be a vessel of healing with your words and not a vessel of hurt. Don't let the enemy influence you to interpret what you're hearing to be defeat. Because my wife didn't make that statement to bring our marriage down. She was hurting and she needed help. How many know when you're hurting, sometimes all you know how to do is say, ow. Somebody would say, well, she shouldn't have said it like that. Probably right. But how many know when you're hurting, all you know how to do is say, ow. How many know when you are wounded, reason just isn't necessarily at the front of your communication. You're just hurting. And it is my job and all of our jobs to understand that and heal. And not provide defense, not provide division, but provide unity. And all that happens through the power of our words. It all depends on what I do with this, right here, on where my marriage goes. It all depends on this right here, on where your home goes. Lean on Him. And when I understand that, my mouth becomes the very tool God can use to bring life into my home, instead of my mouth becoming the very tool that Satan uses to bring death into my home. I want to ask the worship team if they would to come. We don't have any time to go on, but we'll dig into the rest next week, the more positive part of it. But I want us, if we would, as we close, to understand the power of our words. And to do that this week, just focus this week on bridling the bad. Some of you have a problem with letting your mouth go at work. And guess what? So do a lot of other people. Like, we get it. It's hard. If it were easy, the world would be a much better place. But strive this week at work. Strive this week in your car. When that dude cuts you off and throws you that middle finger of fellowship, like, strive to not let bad things come out of your mouth. Because even though you're in a car and you may scream at the car in front of you, they can't hear you. So the only bad you're giving life to is in your life. When you're in your home and an argument is an opportunity to be created, bridle the bad. Let's just strive this week to do that. Before we dig into the second part of learning how to speak victory over other people. Let's do that. Because our words are very, very dangerous, friends. Our words not only have the power to bring us death and life in this world, but in the next as well. Matthew chapter 12. I want you to hear me as I close. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. Jesus said something crazy. Maybe when I read this, maybe you've never even heard it like this. But listen, he says, but I tell you, this is Jesus, that mankind, all of humanity, listen, will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Did you just hear that? That we will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless what? Word we have spoken. And he's not even done. He says this, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Words are so important that we are going to have to give an account of what we say when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. So I say with great passion in this room, Journey Church, watch what you say. You are right now, when you speak, you are speaking your own judgment day into existence today. So let's bridle the bad and hold back the negative from coming out of our mouth. Jesus was so passionate about this point. You see it echoed in his disciples, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, where Paul says to the Ephesian church, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to your needs, according to their needs, that it may be a benefit for them. I pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for each person in this room, God. Every person in this room has been equipped with a tongue, God. Every person in this room has a mouth that you gave them. And Lord, I pray that we go from this place passionate to use our tongues for your glory, to use our mouths for your glory, to use our mouths as an instrument to bring and sow and grow and live and eat victory in our homes instead of defeat. So God, we go from this place opening the door wide open for you to have a place as we go and speak victory, as we go and speak life and not death, as we go and speak victory over ourselves and others and not defeat over ourselves and others. God, I ask that this be the front of our focus this week. And God, the results are incredible. The results are incredible. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Can we stand to our feet this morning? I want to ask our care pastors and our deacons and leaders that may be here this morning if they would to come to the front. And as you come, I want you, if you would, care pastors, deacons, leaders, just come right here to the center part of this platform front here. And I want to ask our communion teams if they would to come as well. I have absolutely loved the opportunity to take communion at the end of service. I know we've done it in weeks past, right around the middle of the worship song set. But I think it's been really neat kind of closing out the service with this opportunity. But I want to ask you, if you need anything from Jesus here this morning, as we come down these two center aisles, our ushers will dismiss us from the front to the back, and you come down these two center aisles before you take communion, if you need prayer for anything in your life, I just want to encourage you to come and let us pray with you. The word pray, right, is a fancy word which means what? To speak. I want you to know it's more than just prayers, friends. I've often told you I found the encouragement and the help and the guidance that I've needed for my life in the prayers, the spoken word of other people. So we would love the opportunity to speak life into your life and your need and your circumstance here this morning. And man, if everything is going great and you just want to go and remember the Lord through communion, I want you, if you would, just to turn out and go grab a piece of that bread and a cup that represents the body and life of God that he spoke into us. I mean, that night he was betrayed, he was speaking to us all that we have available to us. He was speaking himself into us and all that he has for us. He was telling us, man, that I've given you every opportunity to succeed and no excuse to fail. I've got you. I've got you. I'm with you always. Remember, like we talked about last week. Let's remember that. When we go, we've got help from the helper himself, our Lord and Creator. Amen? Amen. God bless you, Journey Church. We can't wait to see you back here next week. We're going to have a blast as we continue to dig into victory into our homes. We love you. We'll see you then.